today as we come to the table.
The Bible says that Jesus is not only the only way, but he is the only door into heaven. There aren't different options of ways to get there. There's one door in the side of the ark, and we have to choose that door. Jesus said in John 10, 8 through 9, notice what he said, speaking spiritually of those spiritual leaders who came before him. He said, all whoever came before me are thieves and robbers. In other words, they're fakes, they're phonies, they weren't real. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture.
In ancient times, the shepherds would herd their sheep into an enclosure for safekeeping. That enclosure was a safe place with only one way in. Do you know where the shepherd sat? At the entrance, of course. The shepherd himself was literally the door to the sheepfold. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark teaches us that when Noah built the ark, that it too only had one way. That door was much like Jesus as the shepherd that protects his sheep. Are you inside the sheepfold of God under his protection? Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts, chapter 4, as he continues his message, The Spiritual Dimensions of the Ark.
Jesus said he was the only way to the Father. No one goes except by him. In Acts 4:12, there's no other name under heaven or earth by which a man can be saved. And I gave you a picture of a worldwide judgment in an ark to show you that there was still only one way to be saved. I showed you long in advance before I sent my son to come and die on the cross. And so all are going to be with that excuse. And so, again, this is why all religious attempts to get to heaven are false, and they're not gonna get anyone there except through Jesus Christ. It's not religion. It's a relationship with the way that God has given us into heaven, and that way is Jesus. Well, notice he goes on in verse 16 and says, you shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. Now, this verse is loaded. Notice here, first of all, he says you should put a window in the top of the ark, not only so that light could get in, but this was very practical, that heat and smell could get out. I mean, you can imagine being locked in this big box. I mean, it would have probably smelled like a coffin by the time they got going. It would have been awful. And so we see that he left this open so that the heat could get out, so that the smell could get out, they could have fresh air coming in. But so too with Jesus, he is the window, note this, that allows the light of heaven to shine in our lives. And he's the one who brings relief when things get a little bit too hot in this world. And he also relieves us of the stench of sin in our life. So the symbolism is everywhere. As we see that Jesus is the only way that we can release the pressure, he's the only way we can release ourselves from the smell of sin in our lives, but he's also the only way that we can receive light from the Father. And so we receive light through him because of that. But notice also, it would have kept Noah looking up for hope the entire time. Think about that. If you're in this boat and there's just clouds moving in and there's all these storms, where would you have been looking the whole time? You'd have been looking up to see, when is this going to break? When is there hope? When are the clouds going to separate? Right now your life feels like it's clouds and rain. And everything around you is just completely, you're locked into this box. You feel like you can't move and get away from your situation or whatever the case might be. Listen, Jesus is your window to hope, but you've got to look up. And as you look up to Jesus, you're going to see his light. You're going to see his hope, and you're going to find that relief that comes only in Jesus Christ. And so it's causing Noah the whole time and his family to look upward. Well, we need to be looking upward. And God wants us looking upward. And he wanted Noah to remember, I've not forgotten you. And there is hope after this. And we'll see that later when we move on in chapter 7. But next, notice the ark. This is interesting to me. It says there in verse 16, it says, he set the door, not a door. Not many doors. He set the door in its side. Again, why is this interesting? Because we've already covered this in part, but it brings up the next way in which the ark was like Jesus, because again, the Bible says that Jesus is not only the only way, but he is the only door into heaven. There aren't different options of ways to get there. There's one door in the side of the ark, and we have to choose that door. Jesus said in John 10, 8 through 9, notice what he said, speaking spiritually of those spiritual leaders who came before him, he said, all whoever came before me are thieves and robbers. In other words, they're fakes, they're phonies, they weren't real. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Symbolically saying, this is the way to salvation. God has put one door in the ark, and God has given only one way by which mankind can be saved, and that way is Jesus Christ. It's interesting. I think of the door of the ark, and I think of Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. And remember when the man jabbed the spear in his side, what came out? Blood and water. Again, we see Jesus in the ark, even as water at that time had deluged the earth and destroyed it. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that saves us and cleanses us and forgives us. Now, some might argue and say, but Mark, that's not fair that Jesus is the only way. Can't we get to heaven other ways? Listen, I have to say this first of all. Who are we to question God's fairness? He's God. We're not. We can run to God all day and say, that's not fair. That's not right. You can't do that. And yet the bottom line is God, and our opinion doesn't change what reality is. I'm sure that once it began to rain, they didn't really care about arguing over the different ways that they believe they could be saved from the flood. Can you imagine? Well, I think you can just hang onto the top of a tree and eventually there's a path. No, I don't think so. I'm glad you think that. And the religion of the tree huggers, that's fine. But I think that probably we could go to the mountaintop. And so we'll go, we're going to be the mountain worshipers. And we believe that we'll go there. And so you have the first church of the tree huggers, the second church of the mountain, you know, worshipers or whatever. And God's saying, no. You can't decide your way to be saved. You can't make up your mind how you're going to avoid the judgment of God. I have told you, and I've given it to you freely, and it's in my Son. Now you have to make a decision. It's in your ball court. And so they couldn't decide on their own. They had to let the Lord decide, and then they had to decide whether or not they were going to get on board. It's interesting. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 22 and 23, many will come to me in judgment day. That is that day. And say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders? These are even people that were claiming to be Christians. He says, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You see, by the time we get to judgment day, it's going to be too late. There's no negotiations or arguing about which is the right way and which is the wrong way. It behooves us to listen to God himself and say, all right, Lord, you said the right way. I'll believe you. But notice also, and again, before I move on, in this verse, notice that the ark had three levels, a top, a middle, and a bottom. And why is this interesting? Because even as the way to salvation was made up of three levels in Noah's day, so too it is in ours. That is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, I know it's through Jesus Christ and him alone, but Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit are one. Jesus was manifest. The Word of God became flesh, and he died for our sins on the cross, but they all make up God. And what a beautiful picture of the Trinity this is again. One boat, three levels. And Jesus Christ, again, was a part of this and making up the picture here of the different levels of the boat, if you will. But what is even more interesting to me about this particular picture here of Jesus is that logic tells us that the door was no doubt on the second level. Now, why is that? Because you wouldn't put the door on the first level. You would have leakage problems, the potential of the door where it closed. You couldn't pitch the door once it closed. So the door would have to be high enough to where it wouldn't constantly be submerged underwater. Certainly it was sealed in some form and fashion. But it couldn't be sealed inside and out with pitch before the flood because they went into the boat and then it was closed. Noah couldn't go back out and seal it on the outside. So the door very logically would not have been on the first level. Well, what about the third level? I don't think that it would have been wise on the third level as well when you consider the height of the boat. It was 45 feet high. And when you do the calculations of a ramp to go to the top from the ground, you'd have had this huge structure that was not only illogical to build, but it would have been difficult to transport all these animals up that ramp. So again, where does that leave us? I think this is very logical. I think it's very important, but I think it gives a beautiful picture as God is giving us a typology of Jesus Christ. Where was the door on the second level? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Again, not giving one greater prominence or eminence more than another, but seeing the picture even fulfilled into where the door was. Because Jesus being on the second level typologically, if you will, is the door into heaven, and he is the door into the way of salvation. And so I think the Holy Spirit, again, going to great detail, not only in very practical ways, but in spiritual ways, behind the scenes, if you will, to give us a picture of really who Jesus Christ was and what he did for us. Notice he goes on and says in verse 17, He says, and behold, I myself am bringing the flood of the waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. And everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you. Wow. The hope of salvation. And you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Now again, notice lastly here, after hearing of God's coming judgment, now Noah gets the good news. Now maybe some of you say, man, all this is about is talking about God's judgment and all these things that are going to happen. We've discussed it. That's true. And why have we discussed God's judgment? Because God discusses it. And God gives it to us to warn us that a day of judgment is coming. A day of judgment came in Noah's day, and a day of judgment is coming in our day. What God's concern is to show us a way out of that judgment. But he first has to let us know that a day of judgment is coming. And now that God has made it clear that a day of judgment is coming, he gives the good news to all who will listen and all who will receive. And he says, for those of you that choose to come inside of the boat, I will make my covenant with you. And see, here's what the Lord is saying. If you choose to come inside of the boat of Jesus Christ, inside of the ark of salvation and what Jesus did for us on the cross, to miss the judgment of the world, God says, I will make a covenant with you. And my covenant will be forgiveness and eternal life in my son if you'll repent of your sin. And so again, this brings us to the last way that the ark is like Jesus, and that is God carried out his judgment on rebellious mankind, but he spared the righteous. And the Bible says that when Jesus comes again, he himself will judge the rebellious, even as God himself declared he would judge the rebellious in Noah's day. He will judge the rebellious, but he will have mercy upon the righteous and those who have received him as their Lord and their Savior. You see, here's the question for us today. Have we received his mercy and his forgiveness? Jesus said there's one way into the ark. It's the only way in. There's no other way to get in. There's one way, there's one door, and that door is Jesus Christ. You must confess your sin, repent of your sin, and accept his death in your place. It's a non-negotiable. Now, God's not trying to be ugly about it. He's not saying, I'm going to show you that I'm right. He has just simply said, the world is lost, and I've given a way for the world to be saved. You know, I think about falling off the boat. You know, can you imagine being on a boat out in the ocean? And as we went to the beach here recently, you know, I considered doing some deep sea fishing. I didn't, but I've always thought, you know, one day I'm just going to go do that. That'd be fun. But sometimes in the back of my mind, what if we get like a mile out there and suddenly the, you know, just this little leak and there we go, we're done. The boat goes down. And I'm thinking, you know, would that just be like it? You know, and the only thing you would ever hear out there is a radio. You'd hear, dun. That's all you'd hear. You wouldn't hear this, dun, 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 dun. You know, and you see fins, you'd, right? And so that's what my mind starts saying, so I'm not going to do that. But I can guarantee you, and I think about these guys too that fall off of these cruise ships. These people think how horrifying that would be to fall off of a large boat like that. And can you imagine if you survived it and if they knew you were there and they threw you something out of the water, I don't think you'd be going, I don't think that's the best way to be saved. I know you've thrown one life preserver. I understand that. And I appreciate your viewpoint. Is there not something else you can do? You know what I'd be doing and what you'd be doing? We'd be grabbing on for dear life and saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. This morning, I was imagining what it would be like. This is almost something that goes later on when we think about the ark and the rain. But I start picturing in my mind being on that boat when the door closed and the rain beginning and realizing this is real. This is not some religious story. This is not a game. We don't get to pretend and everybody choose what they think is the right religion. Everybody made their mind. Everybody outside is now about to die. And they're not only going to die physically, they're going to die eternally. And as I begin to imagine the rain hitting the roof above that window, just hearing it, it's in the upper part there, the upper room, if you will, of the ark, and hearing that rain hit, I just imagine how thankful I would be at that moment. Can you imagine knowing that you were on it, that you believed, oh, it may not have seemed like it was exactly, you know, right. How could that really be? But you believed and you got on the boat. Can you imagine when the rain began to come and the door was closed and you were in it, how thankful you would be? I'm just trying to imagine how I'd be going, God, thank you for what you've done. And it caused me to begin to thank the Lord this morning, just in my prayer time, saying, thank you that I'm on the boat. Thank you that I'm saved. I can't believe you've let me be saved. I can't believe you've let me on, but you have, and how thankful I am that you've done that. You know, it's interesting. The Bible tells us again that there's going to be mockers in the last days, and they're going to be making fun. Matter of fact, turn with me real quickly to 2 Peter. Go to the right in your Bible, toward the back of your Bible, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 3. And again, Peter talking about the days of Noah and the way that it was in that day and the way that it's going to be in our day. And notice what he says there in verse 3 of chapter 3. He says this, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days walking according to their own lust. That is, those who are going to be making fun of God's judgment. It says, and they'll be saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. In other words, God, you know, my grandparents used to say Jesus was coming back. And then their grandparents said Jesus was coming back. Now you're telling me Jesus is coming back. Well, then where is he? Listen, don't confuse God's delay that God has denied his promise. God's delay is God's grace. Remember, God gave the people in Noah's day 120 years. And I can imagine Noah, that must have been discouraging to Noah. Of course, God says, I'm giving man 120 years, so I guess Noah had some heads up on that. But can you imagine if you hadn't known that at all, and you go out and you begin to preach, and it's like day one of 120 years, God sending judgment on the earth, and the mockery begins and all the fun. You're like, yeah, God's going to send judgment. And then 10 years go by, 20 years go by, 30, 40, 100 years, and all the people are mocking and saying, yeah, there's the guy who's got the big judgment coming, yeah. And they begin to mock. See, listen, God said it's going to be like that in the last days. Well, this is interesting because there is a particular individual on the news right now, and CNN's got some program, and I don't even know the guy's name right now to remember it. The point is not to pick on him, but he's taken up of lately to mock Jesus Christ and his second coming. And I've just happened upon it a couple of times, and he gets on there and he gets these godly people on there to ask him, you know, once you see what the guy's like, why'd you go talk to him? I don't know. It's like throwing pearls to swine. He claims to be a Christian, but he's openly mocking, saying, yeah, Jesus is coming back. Yeah, he's going to judge. And he just laughs. And immediately this scripture popped in my mind. Scoffers will come in the last days. And although he doesn't know it, he's an encourager for those who know the word of God. Because we look at him and say, yes. Not that we're rejoicing that he's mocking our God. That is blasphemous. But we look at him and say, Lord, you said in the last days, scoffers will come. Let me tell you something. We're living in a different generation, guys, than we were years back. People didn't openly mock the Lord like this. Oh, maybe somebody at work, maybe a family member, maybe the person that is having the struggle. But on national TV on a regular basis, you never saw people come on and mocking worldwide, because that's where the signal goes, Jesus Christ and his second coming. It's interesting. They went to the campus here, handed out the pamphlets to the students on campus, you know, inviting them to church, you know, giving them a free CD and just trying to encourage them and minister to them and reach out to them. And I didn't go this year. I went last year. Tracy went this year, and she said, Mark, I could not believe how the kids were mocking the church and the things that we were doing. In other words, we try to give them something, and it was this kind of this attitude of, yeah, right, kind of scoffing. She said, they were scoffing. And, you know, I remember even back, listen, a sinner unsaved away from God. When I was at college, I don't want to say how many years ago, but when I was there that many years ago, the bottom line is, if there was a church handing out something, I didn't know Jesus Christ, okay? But I would never have mocked that. There is a different generation we're living. I would have thought, you know what? I'm glad that works for you guys. That's fine and all, but I'm not into that or whatever. But I would have never gone, yeah, to church, Jesus, you know, what is that? I would have never imagined on TV somebody going there, yeah, Jesus is coming back. Whoa, look out. First of all, my heart breaks for that individual, because they have no idea what they're saying. I think of Jesus on the cross when he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're saying. But guys, here's the point I bring up in this. The Bible says in the last days, these kind of guys are going to show up, and they're going to be more prevalent. We're going to see them more in our families, in our workplace. We're going to see them more on the news and on the TV. When we begin to go out and share the gospel, we're going to get more mockery. Understand, it's like the days of Noah. Don't be surprised by it. Be looking up. Keep your eyes looking out the window toward heaven, because it tells us that the time is drawing near. Notice this, he says, and let's go on just because of the context here. In verse 5, he says, for they willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world which then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth which now exist are kept in store by the same word, reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. I have one last verse we're going to finish with. Go back to your left to Matthew chapter 24. And we'll wrap it up with this today. Matthew chapter 24, starting in verse 37. Again, speaking of the days of Noah and the last days before the Lord will return. Notice what he says here. Verse 37, Jesus speaking. By the way, it is in red letters, so we know for sure. But these are the words of Christ. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Note the relation to the days of Noah. What were the days of Noah like? A days of mockery, a days of wickedness, days of rebuke toward things of God. But notice this, for as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. In other words, living normal life. Yeah, he's coming back. That's right, Noah, we hear you, blah, 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 blah. Everything's going on just like it always have, you fanatic right-wing nutsos. Notice this, till you entered the ark, and they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be? Guys, listen, here's what the Lord is saying is, we don't know when he's going to come back. But God has told us that he's going to come back. And when he comes back, he's going to come back in judgment. The first time he came as a lamb to die. The Bible says the second time he comes back, it's going to be as a roaring lion to judge. And so we have to understand both aspects of God. No, God doesn't want to judge. He desires that all be saved. But the reality is all are not going to be. Again, today God has opened the ark to us. And what's amazing to me is not only is the door still open. See, the door has not been closed yet. And here's the bottom line. The door is going to be open until Jesus Christ comes back or until you leave the current body you're in. Once you die and leave that body, the door to the ark has closed. You have no more opportunity at that point to receive Christ. And we never know when that point's going to be. And so wisdom would tell us we need to make a choice before we get to that place. But not only is the door open right now, not only is the ark of Jesus Christ available, guys, understand this, only a third of the ark was filled. God left plenty of room for all who wanted to get on the ark to get on board. My question is, are you on board? It's not that God didn't leave the room. All the people that wanted to could have filed in the ark, even at the last minute, the day before the door closed. They all could have filed in the ark, and there it was empty. How sad it must have been for Noah and those animals and this huge empty boat as he walked around it thinking, why didn't they come? Why didn't they come? Listen, the Lord has opened a door to you. And if you've not chosen yet to get on the ark, the way of salvation through Jesus Christ, it's extended to you. There's plenty of room. The rooms have been prepared. The wedding is ready. The wedding feast is ready. Everything is set and ready to go. Your job is simply to walk on board. The question is, why wouldn't you? What's keeping you from walking on board? And all the arguments in the world can be made. I encourage you to lay down those arguments and to let Jesus Christ be your Lord and your Savior. Yes, you're going to have to confess your sin. Yes, you're going to have to repent of your sin and turn from it. But Jesus Christ, in return, is going to give you eternal life forever in the kingdom. Don't wait till it's too late. Don't be like those on the outside of the ark wishing, why didn't I listen? Rather, be like those on the inside as you hear the rain falling on the top and you see the signs of the times coming to pass right in front of our very eyes saying, God, thank you that I believed your word and thank you that I got on board and now I know that I will be with you eternally forever in the kingdom. And that's the decision we need to make today. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you gave the ark. And even as I think about Noah and his family and imagining myself being on that ark, which I am in type in Jesus Christ, but God, imagining what it would be like when the rains began to come and finally to the point to where the screams suddenly died down, where there was no more noise because they were all gone. And then beginning to feel the boat lift off of the earth, knowing, Lord, that you were in control of its destiny. Father, how I thank you. Lord, I grieve over those who don't get on the boat, and we grieve. Lord, our hearts are broken. But the reality is we know that the gate is narrow that leads to life, but it is broad and wide that leads to eternal death. Lord, I pray if there's any here that have not chosen to walk that narrow path, that only door, that only ark, the only name by which man might be saved, Jesus Christ, that they would choose to confess their sin and give their life to you, that they might be with you and with us forever in the kingdom. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our time at the table of God's Word has come to a close for today. But what are some things you gained from what you heard? The book of Genesis gets the ball rolling, causing you to think about all kinds of big picture questions, things related to the creation of the world, why God would allow a worldwide flood, and why were the Israelites his chosen people? These are all good things to think about and to dig further in God's Word. But our hope is that what you heard today has helped solidify some things that might have been in question before. God was specific in how he brought things about. None of it was accidental or haphazard. As you listen through this series, we trust that you'll come to some great realizations about who God is and what he's done and is doing. To listen to this message again or share with a friend, go to thewaymedia.net. Once again, that's thewaymedia.net. Simply click on the Come to the Table tab. If you have some questions about what you heard today, we'd love to pray for you or answer any questions you may have. So reach out to us through the questions and comments link on our website or call us at 865-609-1385. That's 865-609-1385. Please don't hesitate to reach out. We encourage you to stay grounded in God's Word, allowing Jesus to grow you and draw you closer to Him daily, being willing to go where He's guiding you. Pastor Mark has prepared another teaching here in the book of Genesis. So join us again the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.